Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, hello and welcome to this Thursday edition of Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer and I'm going to be joined in just a moment by Dr. Gary Dull. And right after that, we're going to be speaking together with J.R. McGee, Extreme Leadership Group founder and CEO, strategic leadership and counterism specialist. He has been for over 33 years as an instructor in electronic and information warfare, teaching Navy SEALs, Delta Force, and spyware operators. So that's the space that he is in. Plus, he happens to know his Bible well. And he's been with us on this program before on multiple occasions, and I've asked him to come back again today so that we can cover a few additional headline news issues that are affecting all of us. You know, the converging of so many worldwide events. I use that word converging because as we look at all that's happening, it seems to be happening so quickly, doesn't it? Changes in our nation, changes around the world. It's like every week, every day almost, something big. It's the converging of these things, is the word I use, that makes it significant. And from a military, economic, technological, political, financial, prophetical perspectives, all of these things together converging makes it really necessary to consistently identify and analyze from a biblical perspective what is going on. Jesus told us that we should not be unaware of what's taking place. And so in that extent, that's what we're trying to do, what we do on this program and specifically today. So with our guest today, Gary and I are going to look at several key themes, which while distinct, they're all overlapping and they're connected. Our focus and title for today's program is the U.S., Prophecy, and Enemy Threats. Now, in the next segment, we're going to consider Israel. New technology that they are introducing, just revealed recently, surgical strikes they're making against Iran. We're going to fill in some of the details on that. In segment three, we'll consider the threat and the aligning of two most significant enemies of America, the aligning of them and what they are doing. And in the last segment, we're going to broach the intriguing subject of end times prophecies and America's role as clear biblical prophecies from the scripture take us ultimately to the Middle East for final days fulfillment. And obviously the question is where are we in that process? We'll touch on that here and a whole lot more on Stand in the Gap today. And with that, let me welcome in right now to the program, J.R. McGee. J.R., thanks for being back with us.
Sam, it's always a pleasure to be with you and your listeners, and the value that you and Gary bring is immeasurable. Thank you for having me.
Well, you are welcome. And I tell you what, JR and Gary, before we get into the specific issue of going to Israel and Iran and new technology and the two enemies and so forth, I've got to get your input on this. I just felt we had to cover it because in the last couple of days, those who are listening to us right now know that our president, Joe Biden, has said to America, since he missed his 70% shot goal, vaccination, I don't want to use that word because it's not the COVID shot. His goal is 70% because he missed that so far. Thankfully, he did by July 4th. He is now talking about actually sending government healthcare workers around America door to door and coming up even into group settings. We're going to come to you, he said, because you didn't come to us. And, well, I'll tell you what, it's got a lot of people thinking very deeply, me as well. And so I want to get a few thoughts here from both of you guys. I'm not going to tell you anything more than what I just said, but JR, this idea from the president, I'll just put it very as neutral as I can, is the idea worthy of serious consideration, or does it demand a serious and swift condemnation? Or perhaps is there a middle ground, just from your perspective as you look at it?
Well, you know, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Xavier Becerra, he said yesterday that it's absolutely the government's business to know which Americans have been vaccinated and which ones haven't. You have to ask yourself, let's turn this around to something that's on the left. If the government went door to door and demanded that you identify to the public whether or not you had HIV or AIDS and whether or not you'd been treated for that, Would that be acceptable? I think absolutely not. This violates HIPAA laws. People's private medical information has always been sacrosanct. And for the government to now say, no, it is in everybody's best interest for you to identify and comply, I think is outrageous. It violates multiple constitutional rights on several different levels. And I think this needs to be rejected in the strongest possible terms.
All right, Gary, go to you. What are your thoughts at this point? I mean, obviously, more is to unfold. The concept was thrown out, but the framework was there. So what are your initial thoughts at this point, based on what you know?
Well, I'm very, very concerned about this, Sam, and I agree with JR. You see, this, in my opinion, is a great overstep of our government if they do that. I pray that they'll not do it. I think that if they do it, that there's going to be a lot of people standing against it and pushing it back. It could be one thing that could issue a revolution here in the United States of America. But it just reminds me of the oppression that this Biden government wants to have on the people of the United States of America. You know, Sam, when you read our Constitution, there are very, very few responsibilities given to the federal government. And one of those responsibilities is not to go around from door to door to see if you've taken the shot for the COVID. And so I think that it's an overstepping of their boundary. But what about you, Sam? You've been involved with government most of your life. What are your thoughts about what Mr. Biden is considering?
You know what, Gary? In reality, I look at that and say, you know what? The attitude of this president and the secretary of HHS sound more like the staff or the individual surrounding the Ayatollah in Iran than the Constitutional Republic of the United States. Here's a couple of issues. The Attorney General of Arizona spoke out against that idea that the government, how do you know which house to go to? Is that what you're saying? And that's what JR just said. They said, yeah, we have every right to know because we have an obligation to keep the people of America safe. Well, here's the problem. The American people are going to become aware that what they thought was their protection by the HIPAA laws that JR mentioned, everybody's under the idea that the HIPAA laws protect your private medical information. Well, that's only half true. It really protects it so that your neighbor can't go and find out your information easily. But, ladies and gentlemen, every time you sign a HIPAA permission form, you are giving under the law permission for any agency of government at any time based on their wishes to take your medical information and your health history and use it as they see fit. And that's right. One of the things that's going to be exposed by this door-to-door if they go ahead with it is the fact that nothing is secret from the government, and you and I who've signed have given them permission to do so. I have major problems with it, and we'll talk more about that later. But we'll get right back to it, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue. We're going to shift gears to our major theme. We're going to go to Israel, new technology, and Iranian attacks. For years, faithful Christians formed nonprofit foundations or trusts to preserve their ability to generously give to their favorite causes or ministries, even after their death. The problem? Professional managers, pressure from left-wing agendas, and even family members with opposing views hijacked the original donor intent. This is sad, but true. But this subversion of purpose can be prevented. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network, and I'm glad to recommend Capstone Legacy Foundation in Wayne, Pennsylvania, an experienced and capable Christian community foundation. Established to help you set up a ministry, a giving structure guaranteed not to be hijacked, or a place you can donate cash or non-cash assets like stocks, bonds, or property, Capstone's designed to help you achieve immediate tax savings and give you needed time to decide how to prayerfully allocate your giving. Contact Capstone at 610-688-8890 or visit them at capstonelegacy.org. What does it mean to return to our first love as followers of Christ? Hello, I'm Sam Rohr with another Stand in the Gap Minute. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus told the Ephesian Christians that they were faithful, yet they had left their first love. Instead of living for God with passion, they were going through the motions of life. He said, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you first had. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at the first." You see, God desires more for our lives. Think about the time when you first believed in Jesus. How did you feel? What did you do? What was your life changed, and what did it look like? How strongly did you share your faith? Return to that same desire, giving God your full attention and affection. As you do, you'll discover newfound power in your daily life today. Discover more helpful resources at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today. For more information, visit our website at StandInTheGapRadio.com.
Well, our theme today on this Stand in the Gap Today is the U.S., prophecy, and enemy threats. And we're going to talk about all of them here in the balance of this program. With the rise of the Biden administration, alignments with other nations are quickly deteriorating. You know that. You see it. Our friends of freedom, our allies in the cause of freedom, are again beginning to question our commitment, the commitment of the United States, and certainly led by this Biden administration. They're wondering, are you really committed to freedom, the United States? And how dependable, in fact, are you for our sakes to defend us, which has always been the commitment of the United States, if something were to happen to us? So our dependability is questioned. And following in the steps of Barack Obama, a globalist roadmap is being pursued with vigor. And the same American weakening agenda that Barack Obama implemented has literally been placed on steroids, I think, under this Biden administration. Just think what's happened in these first months. But that means that any other nation committed to freedom and truth and a fear of God, which goes together, is being forced to consider plans to go it alone. Because just maybe the United States will not be there when we need her. And such is the case, I think, as we're seeing with Israel, as Joe Biden strengthens the position of Iran and thereby weakens the position of Israel. We talked about some of this with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung yesterday on this program, but the result of that whole issue is that Israel is being forced to increasingly stand alone, and they may have to engage Iran and her other enemies selectively and effectively. And in fact, I think they have been doing that. JR, let's go here, because there are reports of Israel using advanced technology in surgical strikes, which they seem to do so well, against Iran or some of their proxies. And I'd just like you to bring us up in a general perspective on what Israel is doing in this regard of having to stand alone because they can't depend on the United States anymore, and what they are using that may give some indication of their strength or, you know, where their reliance is. But talk about that, please.
Well, Sam, this is a critical question, and it's a very involved answer. There's three technologies that Israel has developed and brought to the table. But before I go into those, what I'd like to say is that Israel has also been very effective at attacking the Iranian nuclear program, both their nuclear facilities at Natanz and Fordham, and now they're attacking the manufacturing facilities and the supply chain for the parts and the material and the equipment that's supplying their nuclear program. All of these places are blowing up or burning down mysteriously in the dead of night, and it's very effective. Israel has brought many, many capabilities to bear, and they've proved to the world and mostly to Iran cannot get away with doing these things without paying a huge price. Now, the technologies that Israel has brought just recently are stunning. They just revealed a new airborne laser system. It's a 100-kilowatt laser system that is proven 100% successful against drones, missiles, and aircraft. This flies in an airplane and is mobile, and they can use this to shoot down targets for a few dollars per shot versus the $50,000 to $75,000 per missile that the Iron Dome system is using. You know, over the course of my career, I've been involved with Iron Dome and similar systems to that. Those radar-guided missile surface-to-air missile systems are very effective, but they're expensive. And the Hamas has shown that you can overload those systems through mass attacks, through numerous missiles at once. This new laser system really brings to bear a significant increase in Israel's capability of defending themselves against drone attack. And the Hamas is using the drones to bring firebombs and explosives that are very low cost, but very effective. Another technology most Americans haven't heard of. It's very similar to the American system that's called THOR. And THOR is the Tactical High Power Operational Responder System. It's a microwave system. It's a radar system. But instead of tracking a system, it destroys the electronics that guides and controls the system. And it can bring down numerous drones at one time. It's a directed energy weapon. A lot of countries have been working on directed energy weapons for a while. Israel seems to be leading the pack at bringing these systems to the battlefield. But their new microwave system promises to be able to neutralize very large numbers of drones immediately, in one shot. And the third technology is related to this. In the recent attack that Hamas made against Israel for 11 days, we now know, and I can talk about the fact that Israel, for the first time, used what's referred to as a drone swarm. They used numerous drones working under artificial intelligence in coordination to target and attack and develop intelligence on some of the Hamas operatives and leadership group. This is one of the reasons why Israel was so effective at taking out individuals for the Hamas leadership, is the effective use of these drones. Drone swarms are a new technology. It's a new use of an older technology in that numerous drones can be used in coordination. If you've seen some of the fireworks shows lately, where they can put an American flag up in the air, or they can use outlines to build shapes. These are drones that are flying in formation using artificial intelligence that carry lights to form these. Well, imagine, if you will, being able to use these drone swarms on the battlefield. And Israel has now done that. It's no longer a theory. It's operational, and Israel has used it to great effect. Israel's ability to innovate and operate some of these systems is nothing short of amazing. And I think it is already revolutionizing the battlefield, and it's developing a very standalone capability for Israel to be able to defend themselves against almost anybody, which they're absolutely going to need, Sam.
You know, J.R., it's amazing to me to see how God has protected Israel down through the years. And, of course, there's quite a bit of history there. And many of us have been concerned that under this Biden administration, that Israel might not have the support from the United States of America that she's enjoyed down through the years, particularly during the Trump administration. And so it doesn't surprise me at all that Israel is advancing in some of this advanced technology as it relates to their military defense and so forth and so on. But having said that, you have a military background. You understand these things in a greater way than most of us do. So how would you rank the military technology of Israel in relationship to some of the other nations? For instance, comparing Israel to Iran, Israel to Russia, Israel to China, Israel to Turkey, and so forth and so on. Is Israel head and shoulders above those other countries? How would you rank what's going on there with their military development?
Gary, that's a great question, and I'm going to answer it slightly differently. I'm going to compare Israel to America. Every system we have sold Israel, every system we've given Israel, Israel has improved, modified, adapted, and developed to have greater capability than it did when we sold it to them. In fact, America is often trying to catch up with some of the modifications that Israel has made to the systems that we provided to them. Their ability to innovate and adapt and create things is almost unmatched. Now, America has tremendous capability in terms of designing and integrating and developing. And we've got large numbers of people and organizations that do this. Israel is much smaller, but Israel has shown an enormous capability for designing and developing and implementing amazing technology. Their ground-penetrating radar to find tunnels exceeds anything anybody else has anywhere in the world. Iron Dome, David Sling, and Arrow 3, some of the seeker technology that they're using in their missile interceptors is better than anything anybody else has out there. Israel is, compared to Iran, there's not even a contest. Compared to China, Israel is head and shoulders over China technologically. And Russia, there's no contest either. The problem Israel has is magnitude and numbers and quantity. They're a small country. They've got limited resources and limited funds. So they have to depend on technology because they can't depend on numbers and magnitude. You know, the Russians have always said that there is a quality in quantity all its own. And for many years, Russia depended on pure numbers to overwhelm America's superior technology. That's the strategy that countries are now using against Israel. They can't beat Israel's technology, but they do still think that they can beat Israel through sheer numbers and sheer quantity. And that's exactly the battle Israel is fighting, is to develop capabilities where numbers no longer matter. And this new microwave system is a case in point. It can destroy hundreds of drones in an instant rather than having to attack the drones one by one. These kinds of technologies and technological developments are invaluable on a battlefield. Gary, it's amazing what Israel is able to accomplish, and I think God has a hand in that. God's given them this ability to have both intelligence, intellect, and capability that exceeds anything out there solely so that Israel can defend itself.
And, J.R., it's a great setup for as we go into the next segment. Again, we talk about Israel, you talk about what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. And we'll all tie together as we move through the program. Next segment, the two most formidable enemies of the United States. You know who they are? We'll talk about them and really kind of what they're doing together.
Hi, this is Bill Koenig of World Watch Daily from Washington, D.C. I commend Sam Rohr for airing the Stand in the Gap radio program on the American Pastors Network. Sam and his team of Dave, Gary, and Isaac offers a wide variety of guests that discuss the important and relevant issues that keep Christians informed and engaged. As a White House correspondent for the past 17 years, I have appreciated the opportunity to share what I'm observing in our country and the platform to discuss the biblically significant times that we are living in regarding Israel, the Middle East, and other key places around the world.
With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, and with analysis from our team of preachers, combined with expert guests like Bill Koenig, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, George Barna, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, IQ Avrasuli, and many more, with God's guidance and your financial and prayer support, the Stand in the Gap Today team is quickly becoming the most trusted source of news. Pray for us. Stand with us. The United States boasts over 4 million miles of highways and public roads. Without accurate maps, though, and road signs, these roads are confusing. The road of life's no different. Thankfully, the Bible gives us needed markers and guidelines in the form of biblical commands and principles. Properly applying them is the difference between success and confusion when it comes to impacting our culture for Christ and being effective salt and light. For a gift of any amount to Stand in the Gap, we'll send you an attractive Stand in the Gap signpost with 4 simple questions and corresponding biblical principles about the toughest issues of the day, helping you to successfully travel the road of life. Use as a bookmark in your Bible, affix to your refrigerator, or give to a friend. Yours for a gift of any amount to Stand in the Gap. Partner with us right now at standinthegapradio.com. That's standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today, and we are right here in the middle of the program. Our special guest, J.R. McGee, with us frequently, and we are considering geopolitical issues, headline news, but come at it from a little different perspective. JR's background is in strategic leadership and counterterrorism training. He's been involved in teaching electronic information warfare to Navy SEALs, Delta Force, and others for about 33 years or more. And so he brings a valid, credible perspective to the kind of things we're talking about here today. Our theme today, the U.S. prophecy and enemy threats. Now, before I begin in this next segment, we're talking about the two enemies, really, of the United States. Just want to mention that beginning tomorrow on this program, we're going to begin to entertain questions. questions that have come from you, our listeners, either to us in email, or I'm going to invite you to post them on our Facebook, Stand in the Gap Radio or American Pastors Network. You can post a question that may arise from a program that you've heard during the week or any other time. If a question comes up and you'd like us to deal with it, we're going to begin dealing with some of those questions as they arise on our Friday program. So I would encourage you, as you listen to this program or others, things you hear in the news, if you want to hear a response from me or others on our team, go to the website, standinthegapradio.com. You can leave us a note there, just post the question, or put it on Facebook, and we'll pick it up, and we'll try to deal with it, and we'll begin doing that tomorrow. So I would like to invite you to participate, and we're going to try that and see what it's like, but I think it'll be interesting. All right. Throughout the Old Testament, God warned Israel that if they were to walk away from him and put their trust in horses and chariots, which is what Scripture says, that means the military, rather than in God, that God would permit the enemies, their enemies, to actually gather and would ultimately allow them to attack. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, God told Israel, and by application, all nations founded on a relationship to the God of heaven, he said that if they continued to fear him and keep his commandments, that he would make them a leader among nations. He would make them the head and not the tail. People of the world would come to them. He said, but if you turned against God, then I'll turn you from the head into the tail. Your indebtedness will rise. You will become a servant to your borrowers. You'll lose your respect among the nations, and enemies will actually arise both from within, and they will align against you from without. And I can't read that section without thinking about our nation. J.R., on the last program you were with me, we focused on China as the enemy, and we entitled that program China, Land of the Rising Threat. But Russia is also becoming emboldened against the United States, and it does appear that these two nations are increasingly in league. I'll just give you an open platform here. Share some leading evidence that you would have that both China and Russia are threatening the U.S., both alone and possibly together. Go where you want on this.
You know, Sam, this is I wish we had a three-hour show to cover this because there's that much information for this. But, you know, I'm gonna step back a moment and talk about Japan. Japan does not get heavily involved on the world stage. Japan focuses on results and action. They don't focus on words and posturing. They don't make a lot of statements. So when the Japanese government says something on the world stage, I tend to pay attention to that. And this week, the Japanese Minister of Defense, Yoshihide Nakayama, he issued a public warning both to America and the world that China and Russia together are gearing up for a surprise attack on America. He clearly stated they plan to launch a Pearl Harbor-style attack on the United States. And Japan's not in the habit
J.R., I'm going to jump in. I think that statement that you made was significant. State that again. Who is saying who is going to attack whom? State that again.
The Japanese Minister of Defense, Yoshihide Nakayama, he this week issued a public warning stating that China and Russia together are gearing up for a surprise attack on America. He clearly stated it was a Pearl Harbor-style attack, a secret attack, and they were going to attack our infrastructure and some of our information systems, our electrical grid, in a sneak attack without warning. And the Japanese do not make statements like this unless they're 100% certain and that they're sure of their information. This was a massive statement that came out of the blue, as it were. And I have to put a great deal of credibility behind what they're saying. They had a couple of statements like this, but this one specifically for this segment is incredible. And there's a lot of traffic and chatter that I'm picking up and that is going on out there. In fact, Jennifer Granholm, who's the Secretary of Energy under the Biden administration, was asked last week if our adversaries were capable of shutting down our electrical grid. Now, you know, we've talked about this. Everybody's talked about this. EMP, information systems attacks on the electrical grid. But for the first time, the Secretary of Energy clearly says, quote, yeah, they do have the capability to shut it down. Mm. And she said there's thousands of attacks on the energy sector and the private sector happening all the time, unquote. Now, that coming from a secretary, cabinet-level official, is an amazing admission that our infrastructure is at risk. And the Democrats right now are putting together this infrastructure bill, but they're focusing on the wrong infrastructure. They're trying to get a wish list put through when they really should be trying to get money to harden our electrical grid, our water systems, our transportation systems, our information systems. Our systems are incredibly vulnerable. As we've exploded in this ability to have information at our fingertips, we have not developed at the same rate the security systems for that information. Imagine, if you will, electricity was shut down. There would be no ATM machines, no money, no bank transactions, no way to get gas out of the tanks through the pumps, no way to conduct business. Our entire economy, our society would shut down immediately if it lasted for more than 48 hours. And that is an incredible threat. And the Japanese claim to have specific information that China and Russia are working together to do exactly that in the very near-term future.
Let me jump in here, if you don't mind, JR. I think this is tremendous information that you're sharing with us. And, of course, we've talked a lot about the Russian-led cyber hacking of the United States computer system. And, of course, we know that China, no doubt, is involved with that. And that all of this put together does pose a great threat on our security, as you're talking there. But here's something that has just come to my mind, and I'm interested in hearing what you have to say about it. We know that economically and in other ways, China is on the increase, whereas Russia is on the decrease. Do you think that there's a possibility that China and Russia have been working together in recent years, nevertheless, to destroy the United States of America, and then China, because it wants to have world dominance after the United States of America is destroyed, would work to defeat Russia? Is that outlandish, or is that something that might be taking place even as we speak?
Gary, that's not outlandish. That's good strategy. And China has a long history, 5,000 years of history, of having floating relationships, and they shift allies and adversaries almost at will. The only thing that stays focused with China is the end result, and that is Chinese power and face, their status in the world. That's what's really important to China. And they believe that they are destined to be the leaders of the world. They were the leaders of the world thousands of years ago. They believe that's their destiny today, and they're going to do everything in their power to get back to that. You know, and Russia has developed a tremendous capability to attack our infrastructure as well. You know, just recently in July, there was an information technology firm called Kaseya. They were hacked. Thousands of victims in 17 countries got locked out of their systems. In June, JBS, which is a meatpacking company, because 25% of the meat in the United States, they got shut down. Our beef prices skyrocketed for that. And, oh, by the way, the Biden administration claims that they saved us 16 cents in our economy for 4th of July for meat prices. My wife and I, we restructured our budget to take advantage of that 16 cents, by the way. In May, the Colonial Pipeline that supplies oil and gas to the eastern seaboard was shut down. Gas prices spiked. In March, CNA Financial Corporation, a huge insurance company, in fact, one of the largest in the United States, got locked out of their systems for 2 weeks. And what scares me is in February, this was not really announced, but in February, these hackers shut down a water treatment plant in Oldsmar, Florida.
And ladies and gentlemen, there's a whole lot more there, but stay with us. We're going to come back in this last segment. We're going to pick up on what JR was talking about and say, all right, all these things are happening against the United States. Where are we? We're going to shift into prophecy and say, where is the United States?
although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 Materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper education that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
We celebrate his birth, but not his beginning. The Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father. The Nicene Creed's description of God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, was written to counteract the heresy that Jesus was just another creation. John 1 clarifies the Son is actually the very agent of creation and the eternal God Himself. And what C.S. Lewis describes as the central event of human history, the Son took on humanity, a mortal body from the Virgin Mary, and a soul untainted by Adam's sin. He did this for us and for our salvation, to bear the weight of our guilt and rise again to be our high priest. He's the fulfillment of the ancient promise, my dwelling place will be with them, I will be their God, and they will be my people. In Jesus, our God is with us. With today's Point, I'm John Stone Street.
This is Tim Barton from Wall Builders with another moment from American history. American patriot Paul Revere rode to alert Americans of the impending arrival of the British, but he also sought patriot leaders Samuel Adams and John Hancock to warn them that the British were seeking their execution. Adams and Hancock were staying with the Reverend Jonas Clark in Lexington. When they asked Pastor Clark if his church was ready for the approaching British, he replied, "I've trained them for this very hour. They will fight and, if need be, die under the shadow of the house of God." Later that morning, 70 men from his church faced several hundred British in the first battle of the War for Independence. As Pastor Clark affirmed, the militia that morning were the same who filled the pews of the church meeting house on the Sunday morning before. The American church was regularly at the forefront of the fight for liberty. For more information on this pastor and other colonial patriots, go to wallbuilders.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Well, welcome back. As we wrap up our program here today, we're going to shift, as I said in the last segment, to the issue of prophecy. Because everything we've talked about on the program today, these headline issues, these nations of Israel, Iran, Russia, China, the United States, and these all tie in with events that we know biblically are going to occur in Scripture. Biblical prophecy and the fulfillment of what God details in Scripture is something that really must direct our thinking and planning for both citizens and policymakers. And while some nations are literally named in Scripture as end-time players, like Israel, Persia, or Iran, Libya, and Egypt, they're all there by name. There are other historical nations mentioned, like Gog and Magog, as an example, or countries referenced by geographical references, such as the nation from the north, often viewed as perhaps Syria, but Russia, probably more often than not, or nations from the east, as an example, assuming that generally would be China and India, perhaps. But they're not by name, but they're mentioned geographically. Ultimately, we know that God works through nations, and they're important in His plan. Acts 17 makes it clear that God has literally determined nations, their roles, how they fit together into His broader plan of redemption. Their geographical boundaries actually are established from the beginning. So this is a big deal. That's why we have to understand biblically as much as possible how it fits into God's plan. And while the United States is, at the moment, the most powerful and influential nation in the world. Most would say that the United States is not mentioned in end times prophecy, and therefore something must happen to diminish this prominent role. Well, what do we know? And what impact perhaps should it have on us right now? And JR, we do not have time, and it's not our intent in this last segment to answer all of this. There are many sermons that I could preach and a lot of ideas, but I do want to talk to you about this because in light of the prophecy, which talks about God gathering the nations of the world against Israel, the players in those end days, God's going to yank them down to the Middle East. That's going to be centered around Israel, and some of them aren't named specifically. But let's go to the United States here. The United States is not there. Do you have some ideas on what you think may be? And actually, tie it back into the conversation we had to stop you with just before the break of our enemies and what their goal is really in regard to the United States. Put this all together from your perspective.
You know, that's a deep subject, Sam. And, you know, as you say, Persia is Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, those are Shia nations, Islamic nations. And it always amazes me how Ezekiel knew this first battle, the Battle of Ezekiel's War, as it's called. He knew that there would be an Islam, and it would be the Shia countries of Islam that first aligned with Russia in this first battle. And they're almost exclusively Shia. And the Shia countries and the Sunni countries don't get along with each other. It also mentions Gomer and Togomar. And these are part of Turkey. In fact, they're the part of Turkey that used to be Armenia. It's in the eastern part of Turkey. And then Gog and Magog, that's typically referenced up in Russia, as you mentioned, Moscow, those areas. And as we've seen in the last 2 years, and it started under Obama, when Obama invited Russia back into Syria, when he drew the red line in the sand and couldn't enforce it, Putin saved his bacon and came in. And since that moment, Russia has reestablished a dominant role in the Middle East and put together an alliance with these Shia nations to come up against Israel. And it's amazing how it's all come together. And, you know, a lot of people look at prophecy. They look at Ezekiel. They look at Daniel. They look at, of course, the book of Revelation. But one book that really doesn't get a lot of attention is Luke. And in Luke chapter 21, there's a lot that's going on in there. And the disciples are asking Jesus, what are going to be some of the signs of the end times? And in verse 10, he says, nations shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs will be from heaven. You know, pestilence, those are pandemics, and there's a great famine going on. I just read a report, almost 830 million people in the world today in different parts of the world are going through a very significant famine. It's hard not to see how nations are rising up against nations. And he says these will be some of the signs of the end times. And it says men's hearts will fail them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming about on the earth. That's happening before our very eyes, Sam. These actions and activities are happening. We're seeing prophecy fulfilled before our very eyes. These can be fearful times if you don't know the Lord. But if you know the Lord, if you have salvation in your heart, you're a child of God, these are exciting times. These are some amazing times because you're watching the Bible be proven true before our very eyes. And it sums it up in verses 21, Luke 21, verses 27 through 29. It says, and when these things shall come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I have great confidence in that. I have great faith. I do not think America is in prophecy. I don't think that America is going to play a great role in this. People who try to put America into prophecy usually force fit it, and they use some pretty significant contortions to try to manipulate it in there. I think if you look at what's happening in our country today, if you look at the divide between the left and the right, We're destroying ourselves internally as fast as Russia and China want to destroy us externally. I don't find it surprising that America is not in prophecy. I find it surprising how anyone can think that unless something drastic happens very quickly, how America can survive this level of conflict and this level of confusion. I mean, there's some terrible things that are happening in our country. It breaks my heart because the country that I've served, the country that has been so good to me, that has provided so much to my family and me, is not the same country that I grew up in. And countries always change. People change. But we should be changing for the better. And unfortunately, I think we're seeing a great effort at multiple different levels to move us downwards, not upwards, to move us to be diminished, not uplifted. And I think that we could have a revival. There's no doubt about it. We could pray, and God could heal our land. But I don't see enough people in America wanting to do that. I see the people who are wanting to destroy America really gaining the upper hand. And I think that God's people are going to have to pray like never before and evangelize like never before. Now is the time to reach out, to tell your neighbors, to tell your friends about God, about Jesus, about salvation, because time is running short. It's running short.
And J.R., with that, the time is up, ladies and gentlemen. I hope as we went through this today, again, things change, nations change. But God's design for the nations is all a part of His plan. Now, the question is, are you a part of God's plan? If you do not know Him as your Savior, that's where it starts. And then are you communicating the truth of the reality of who God is and what He alone can do? That's the next question. And that is what we need to be concerned about, ladies and gentlemen. And on that basis, I leave you today. Stand in the gap for truth. Know the truth. Embrace it. And then stand in the gap for truth. Thanks for being with us today.
If you liked today's program, tell a friend. You'll also want to hear Stand in the Gap Weekend and watch the nationally syndicated Stand in the Gap TV program. We present the news of the day truthfully, carefully, and consistently from a biblical worldview and constitutional perspective. If you're hungry for the truth, visit standinthegapmedia.org to find all our programs and the stations that carry them. While you're there, be sure to download our free app and support this ministry with your best financial gift. Then join us again right here Monday through Friday for another program of Stand in the Gap Today.